This podcast replay is brought to you by Pallet Rack City, specializing in knockdown and installations of your warehouse equipment. They also sell used forklifts and dock equipment, largest used rack inventory in South Florida. You want a great rack? Call Eddie right now, 305-887-9212, Pallet Rack City.
Oh, we have David Dwork for you, sir.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, we'll get back to your chatting, super chatting questions, all kinds of comments in a couple of minutes here. David Dwork does an excellent job of covering the Panthers for WPLG. He's got a terrific podcast called Chirping the Cats. The Panthers are, I guess, they're in the playoffs now by default. They get to face the Islanders. David, of course, covers them on a daily basis. Let's bring him aboard. David, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Big Joe. Hope you're doing pretty good as well.
Listen, man, we're out here at Toyota of Hollywood like we've been every single week. So we are blessed that we still get to do some work while we're out here. So we are one of the few lucky ones, actually, to be able to do what we love, even during a pandemic, which is not easy to do, my man. So hope you and the family are doing well and you're safe. What's been the highlight of the quarantine for you?
Highlight of the quarantine? It's hard to say, man. Every day seems so similar. I mean, like you said, we're definitely some of the lucky ones that we're able to do what we love amid this crazy times, but I don't know. The Jordan documentary was good. but right now it's fun because sports are starting to kind of inch their way back into the limelight and get going again. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, and I was just talking to Craig Mishnow. It's amazing how hockey is coming back and Major League Soccer's coming back. Football's working its way back. Basketball is working its way back. And yet baseball is the only one that's haggling about money, and it always seems like – and isn't that kind of screwed up how all the other leagues, they're just worried about coming back healthy, and meanwhile baseball is worried about its finances. That's kind of screwed up, isn't it, as a fan?
I mean, it is as a fan, but like the analytical brain goes to work and I'm thinking, well, baseball, hockey and basketball, they've all been paid most of their money already. Football isn't talking about any kind of a break, or they're planning to do everything on time. So everybody's planning
and
to get their cookies on
time. And the MLS too has to take pay cuts too. I mean,
Yeah. Well, this is also true, but I'm just playing devil's advocate, but like MLS dollars and MLB dollars are very different. And I'm not saying that the MLB players are right, wrong, whatever. It's just a different situation for them because the season hasn't started yet. So whatever precedents they set when they get started, they're going to be stuck with.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious to find out how many of the players are of this belief of the ones that we're seeing come out on social media that they're all, we want our money. This isn't right. How many of them just want to get out there and play?
I got to tell you, David, I'm actually siding more with the players than the owners in this case. Because if Mike Trout or some of these star players have to take a 70% pay cut, are you kidding me? Why? Because they're the ones that fill the stadiums up. And so that to me is kind of odd the way they're kind of breaking it down. But that's what I do respect about all the other leagues, that they had their financial hurdles that they had to talk about, but they overcame them quickly. Baseball always has a problem with financial hurdles more than any of the other sports. And so it's just kind of odd. But on the hockey side, my man, are you happy with the way they kind of came about with their decision and going with this 24-team playoff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody pretty much across the board is happy with it. You're not seeing any complaints because any team that was on the fringe, that was fighting for their season, wanting to get in, had the chance to continue to do that and to compete for the Stanley Cup. And the teams that didn't get in, there was no preconceived notions about any of them winning the Cup this year anyway. You look at, all the California teams, you look at the Detroit Red Wings or the Buffalo Sabres. So, this, preparing for the draft is something that they needed to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good situation, and it gives teams like, the Panthers, the Rangers, teams that were hot towards the end that were trying to get in there. The Rangers obviously weren't the Panthers in that sense. But, it gives them a chance to fight and to do something that they've been sitting around waiting for some sense of, what's going to happen. So now they know, I get to go and I get to play for the Stanley Cup.
Let me ask you something, because I thought about this, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Now, you know already I'm off the Dale Tallon bandwagon. Obviously, I think they need to make a change. But because of COVID, and this is something in general in sports, not just for the Panthers, but everybody else. David, I almost get a sense that very few teams will make changes unless your coach or your general manager's contract is expiring this year. But if you've got a coach or a GM that has extra years left, because of all the losses, I can't see, and all the off seasons are going to be shortened for everybody because this is throwing everybody's, you know, regular season completely off. I almost can't see teams making any kind of changes, because financially that will be more hits for the owner, because if you do change a coach or general manager, then scouting departments change, coaching's changes, and then that means all those salaries are guaranteed and you've got to pay all of those. Because of COVID, even if the Panthers wanted to make a change with Dale Tallon, I don't think they will. I don't think anybody's really going to make changes with any kind of front office or head coach because of all the losses that they've had to endure. Do you agree or disagree with that theory?
No, that's a really good point to think about. And on to kind of add to what you're saying, not just the financial aspect, but you think of logistically all of the knowledge, all of the planning, everything, all the scouting of your players, the players that you're looking at, all of that information has to get transmitted. It's a very hard task to pull off remotely. So you're talking about that as you're talking about the financial aspect. I'm thinking about more like nobody can meet with anybody. Nobody's going to the facilities. Like, there's so many different aspects at play that I totally agree with you now that I'm thinking about it, that it makes sense. It wouldn't make sense really to make any of those kind of changes right now, because I mean, just logistically, both from a financial standpoint and from an organizational standpoint, the overhaul would be ridiculous right now with all the COVID stuff going on.
Right, exactly. So having said all that, this is an ownership group that did kind of make a change with Dale Tallon a few years back. It didn't work out with Tom Rowe. And to their credit, one of the reasons why I love this ownership group, they don't mess around, man. They didn't think it was working, and they changed back right away. Well, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, hindsight is 2020. They might have, okay, not executed it right, but they might have had the right vision. So if you can't make a change, is there any shot that things get altered this offseason a little bit with Dale Tallon? Because I know Dale Tallon was quoted recently as saying it's going to be one heck of an offseason, or, you know, a challenging offseason. And I'm wondering, wow, should they even give him that offseason? But then I thought about my whole COVID theory thing, and I'm thinking, well, guess what? Not a lot of people can make changes. So you tell me, what's that next step if there are any kind of changes above?
I would think that it just depends on with their salary cap situation as it currently stands. They have no space. They're going to be losing guys off the top, like Hoffman is coming off, Dadnov, the free agent guys. And it just really depends. Like, there's so much unknown right now because, as you said, of the COVID. I don't think they would do something like they did with the first time that they kind of demoted Dale, with going, you know, completely changing their mindset, going after the more analytical approach. Because now, mainly, it's not just Tallon. It's Tallon and Q. They're kind of in simpatico in that way. And I think any decision-making, whether it be through free agents or prospects or whatever, it's not just Dale. Like, Q is going to play a big part in building what his roster looks like, just like they did it in Chicago the first time they were together. Q knows what he wants his team to look like, and he and Dale need to work together to put that on the ice. So I don't see any big changes in the terms of the way that they're thinking. Changes could be coming, certainly, during the offseason, just because, as I said, you've got, you know, key players that are free agents and you have to make decisions on those. But I can't, it just, for all the reasons we've discussed and so many more, it's hard to see any big major changes. It'd be hard to pull off. And so fortunately for the Panthers, I think even though obviously the season didn't go the way that it was planned, they're still getting into a postseason opportunity. They still have, I still believe that they have a very solid roster. It's just a matter of playing well on the ice. But player-wise, I think they're pretty well set up for for a good run here, O. It's just going to be a matter of what they decide to do with the little dollars that they have left to spend coming up this summer.
All right, so what do you like about this matchup for them against the Islanders, if that's what the matchup is now?
It's a good matchup in the sense that the Islanders aren't a very high-scoring team, whereas the Panthers, they can score very well. The Islanders, their bread and butter last season and for the first half of this season was they're an extremely good defensive hockey club. It seems that teams started to figure out how to play them because the goals against started to rise. Their February and March is actually worse than the Panthers' February, if you can believe that. They went into the break, I think, with six straight losses. They had given up like three or more goals in, I'm trying to remember my notes, but like 10 to 15 games. So the Islanders were in a bad place the second half of the season. Whereas the beginning of the season, they went on that like 17-game unbeaten streak, and they were amazing. So the unknown, O, is how are these guys, any of them, going to come out of this break? How much is what they were playing like in February and March going to play into what they're playing like in July and August? It's just such an, you know, to steal the phrase that everybody's using, you know, in these uncertain times, like it's so hard to guesstimate what may happen. But just, you know, looking at it on paper, which unfortunately it's kind of the metric right now, I really like the Panthers matchup. Especially going right down to, I know we always talk about goaltending, Orlando. The main reason the Islanders pulled that series in 2016, and one of the reasons they've had a lot of success against the Panthers since then, is that they've got this goalie named Thomas Greiss, who absolutely owns the Panthers. His save percentage against Florida is close to like 950, which is unbelievable. But now Florida has a goaltender as well, and we saw last year that this is a goalie that can absolutely steal a playoff series when we saw Bob and Columbus sweep Tampa last spring. So I'm excited for the matchup. I wish it would be seven games instead of five, obviously, but now I'm getting greedy. But I think the Panthers match up well against the Islanders, and it should be a good series.
Well, let's hope so. We definitely need a good series, man. It would be nice if they can actually, you know, advance around here at least. That would at least make you feel a little – because really, let's be honest. If they lose this series – the season's a failure, right? I mean, it's not a good season at all. You technically didn't make the playoffs, and you couldn't win in the first round, and you don't see any progress. If you win, at least now you can say, well, maybe, you know what? Maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. Now maybe we can build on something. I think that there's a positive of being thrown into this 24-team tournament. But the negative is, if you can't win in the first round of a 24-team tournament, that doesn't really give you a lot of hope for the future for this group, is my point.
Yeah, a win would be huge, yes. Orlando. You know, they haven't won a playoff series since 1996. I'm no math whiz, but that's a long time. Yeah. So even winning this, you know, whatever you want to call it, rinky-dink qualifying round, asterisk, playoff, whatever, we'll take it. We'll take it 7 days a week and twice on Sundays.
Yes.
So go out there, beat up on an Islanders team that was really struggling the second half of the year. Go score 3-4 goals a game. Let Bob do his thing and give fans something to be excited about. I mean, you know, this region goes crazy for winners.
Yes.
And right now with absolutely no sports going on, if the Panthers can be the first one out of the gate and do something significant, like win a playoff series, I mean, nobody's going to be out banging pots and pans, but it'll still be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see how the South Florida fans react to it.
No doubt. What are you working on? When's the next Chirping the Cats, my brother?
Next Chirping the Cats, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. It's been a little stop and go with the coronavirus and everything. But I've got a couple ideas for the next one. Right now, it's just starting to hopefully get ready for the season to resume and to get these playoffs going. It's nice to actually have a little blood flowing in the hockey brain right now.
There you go. Good stuff, man. As always, David, I appreciate you taking some time. Check out David's work there at WPLG's website as he's covering the Panthers. We get a little hockey back. Hopefully our Panthers can stay alive for a little while in these playoffs. David, as always, my man, you stay safe. You and the family, as always, appreciate you, man.
You too, my friend. Love to you and the family. Take care of yourself.
You got it. Follow him on Twitter at David Dwork. He is a good man and does an excellent job covering the Cats.